Welcome to Energy Law Roundup, your comprehensive weekly briefing on legal news and developments in the energy industry from Texas and across the country, always in 30 minutes or less. And now, your host for Energy Law Roundup, business litigator and oil and gas trial lawyer, Tom Charlone.
It is the week of May 29th, 2017. Again, my name is Tom Charlone. I'm a litigation partner at Kane Russell, Coleman & Logan, resident in our firm's Houston, Texas office. In a significant development out of Oklahoma, an operator in a long-running royalty dispute in federal court wants the state Supreme Court there to weigh in on the meaning of a, quote, marketable product. As many of you know, perhaps by firsthand experience, the definition of this phrase is often fraught with uncertainty, and it can cause major headaches when operators are trying to decide what expenses they can properly deduct from a mineral owner's royalty check. In the 1998 decision in Santa Fe Minerals, it was held that an oil and gas lessor is permitted to burden the lessee with post-production expenses, but only if they serve to increase the price of a petroleum product that is already in a marketable state. The 1998 decision, however, didn't really shed much light on what actually constitutes a marketable product. Sometimes the phrase is construed to mean gas that's ready for shipment by way of an interstate pipeline. A competing view is that gas is not a marketable product until it's actually delivered into a pipeline that crosses state lines. The operator in the case is PetroQuest Energy. The company has correctly observed that most royalty underpayment class actions settle out of court, so the open question of what constitutes a marketable product never has a chance to percolate up into the appellate courts. According to PetroQuest's motion for certification, quote, because most of the class action suits over post-production costs have been resolved through class settlements, rulings on the merits in class action cost deduction cases are not reaching the Oklahoma appellate courts. Consequently, there has been little opportunity for the Oklahoma Supreme Court to provide broad clarification. By contrast, the mineral lessor plaintiffs unsurprisingly take the position that the meaning of a marketable product is not the subject of any debate. They say it's pipeline quality gas, plain and simple. PetroQuest fired back against that assertion as follows, quote, the settled state of Oklahoma royalty law in the aftermath of the 1998 decision regarding the legal standards to be applied in determining when gas and its constituents under particular facts become a marketable product has led to a continuous flow of class action royalty lawsuits that have imposed a significant burden on our courts. The case number is 16-CV-463, pending in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Oklahoma. For the second Friday in a row, the Texas Supreme Court has issued a watershed decision with sweeping implications for the oil and gas industry. Last week, the court ruled that offsite penetration, horizontal drilling across one tract to reach a second tract, does not constitute mineral trespass. This Friday, the court decided an appeal that challenged as ambiguous a mineral conveyance that had been made on a county-wide basis. In other words, a mineral deed providing for the transfer of all the seller's oil and gas interests in a specific county. When the court heard oral arguments in March, industry observers were concerned. After all, to the extent it were held that all-encompassing countywide conveyances are invalid as a matter of law, the floodgates would open and unleash a torrent of mineral title litigation. Indeed, as it was argued to the Texas Supreme Court earlier this year, if blunderbuss mineral conveyances are invalidated as ambiguous, we would expect to see small armies of landmen descend on courthouses across the state, all of them tasked to pore over deed records to isolate just these kinds of conveyances, and then to obtain mineral leases from those who might have claims to the minerals under the changed law. Naturally, this would wreak havoc on operators that spent millions of dollars developing big plays, only to be confronted with the possibility that entire mineral leaseholds are invalid. Mercifully, the Texas Supreme Court reached the correct decision and came to the common-sense conclusion that countywide mineral deeds are valid and enforceable. Leaving no room for doubt, Chief Justice Nathan Hecht wrote that, on its face, a countywide conveyance could not be clearer. Justice Hecht then added, simply enough, that, quote, all means all. Operators across the state can now sleep easier, and enterprising plaintiffs' lawyers will have to look elsewhere for the next big thing. The case number is 16-0155 in the Supreme Court of Texas. Finally, in a negative development for the industry, and in particular its long-running battle with anti-fracking activist groups, the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit has allowed an environmental pollution lawsuit against Southwestern Energy to continue, even though the plaintiff's expert report was by all accounts a, quote, crude and imperfect piece of work. The plaintiffs are property owners who fancy that drilling waste from Southwestern's wells traveled underground and contaminated their land. The plaintiffs' claims were dismissed after the company moved for summary judgment, citing the lack of any meaningful evidence and especially an expert report that was riddled with serious inadequacies. Despite this, the Eighth Circuit has now resuscitated the plaintiffs' borderline claims, even though their expert witness apparently did the bare minimum required to pass muster under the court's gatekeeping function pursuant to Daubert and its progeny. Here's what the appellate panel had to say on this score. Quote, though the plaintiff's expert report may be crude and imperfect, none of the issues cited by the district court make it so unreliable that it should be excluded. It still gives the trier of fact a rough idea of how far the fracking waste would spread under certain conditions. End quote. The appellate court proceeded to reverse and remand the case back down to the district court. For obvious reasons, the decision is a troubling one for operators. Fracking lawsuits are on the rise, with plaintiffs across the country bringing claims for the underground migration of fracking and drilling waste. Now, we've got a decision from a United States Court of Appeals that specifically holds that a fracking plaintiff is entitled to a trial, even when, as was the case here, quote, the expert's report imperfectly describes where the fracking waste spread, end quote. But of course, that's really the crux of any fracking pollution case. If the plaintiff's expert can now approach this core inquiry in a crude and imperfect manner without jeopardizing the admissibility of his opinions, it might become increasingly difficult for operators to extricate themselves even from specious litigation without taking their arguments all the way through verdict. We can expect that aggressive plaintiffs' lawyers will begin using this decision as a tool for keeping even marginal fracking contamination cases in the courthouse. The case number is 15-3458 in the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit.
Thank you for listening to Energy Law Roundup. If you would like additional information about anything from today's episode, you can contact Tom at 210-446-6999 or by email at tom@charlone.net. New episodes of this podcast are available every week on the web at www.energylawroundup.com, your one-stop source for breaking news and developments in energy law.